Said, are you there? Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to read from the NIV version this morning to give us greater clarity of some of the events that took place in Joshua chapter 6. We're reading from a very familiar passage that if you've been saved for 22 minutes, I'm sure you've heard about Jericho and the wall of Jericho. But I believe we'll look at it this morning. We'll get some type of revelation that I believe is going to bless your life. Amen. Reads as follows in Joshua chapter 6, reading from the screens on the NIV version, reads as follows. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Verse 2, please. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. Somebody say fighting men. Everybody say fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Everybody say armed men. Everybody say armed men. Do this for 6 days. Verse 4. Have seen priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumps. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army, everybody say army. Everybody say army. Give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army, everybody say army, will go up, everyone straight in. Fast forward to verse 20 if you could. Verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, everybody say the army shouted. And at that sound of the trumpets, when the men, everybody say men, gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you as we preach and teach, God. We just thank you as we learn to trust you even more. We learn to put everything in your hands that we face. So, God, we just thank you for your presence and your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Want to use this message here. If we can use this title, if you can do your best preacher's voice and tell your neighbor it's in God's hands. Look at your other neighbor and tell them it's in God's hands. As that's our title this morning, is it's in God's hands. I love that title. As I think about it, what I love about us understanding that is that we also have to understand, although things are in God's hands, we must understand God has put a lot of things in our hands. That as a believer, you are one of the most powerful entities on this earth. I want to make sure you heard what I just said, because that sounded like you didn't catch it. I said you are one of the most powerful entities on the planet Earth right now. And maybe I need to do a self-esteem seminar to help you out right now. But to understand who you are and what's in you as a Christian, as a believer, the power that rests in you, the things that you were capable of doing within yourself as a believer. Matter of fact, the Bible says when Jesus was leaving, he says to his disciples, I must go that the greater one, meaning the Holy Spirit, will come. And he says, and greater works shall you do than I do. Catch that. Receive that. Jesus says, greater works will we do than he did. Not that we're better than him, he said, but because you'll have the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do more things than I did even on this earth. Now let that sink in for just a moment, because I'm not talking about your neighbor, I'm talking about you right now. That Jesus himself said, you yourself will be able to do more than I did, greater than I did, because you will have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Let me make sure you get it right now. He's talking about you, not your neighbor, I'm talking about you right there, you in your seat right there. He says this. Watch what he says. He says, you will be able to do more than what he did. And church, if you can ever get that revelation of what Christ just said to you about you, you'll begin to see yourself in a different disposition that Christ said, I can do greater than he did. And when you begin to think about what he did, it will blow your mind. The Bible says, it literally says that you should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's something about something that's in you that's on your hands. Matter of fact, put your hand on your neighbor. Just let them know it's something about me right now. Don't play around with these hands. Amen. Come on, somebody. And you know, you got, and I want to make sure I understand, because I know we got some Southside folk up in here. I want to make sure that I clarify. I don't necessarily mean throwing hands. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because, I mean, we good there too. Come on, I'm saved, but I still can throw hands. But that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I can lay hands on you and I can break generational curses off your life. I can lay hands on you, and because what's in me will transfer into you, and us together will see demons come up out of your life, off your home. We can see generational things turn. We can see cancer leave your body. We can see people who tried to curse you. We can break the curse and reverse it onto their life. We can see where you've been denied because of a barrier. If we touch and agree, we can break every yoke that's in your life. The Bible says if you bind it on earth, he says that person sitting up in your seat, if you open up your mouth and you bind it, you are a bad individual. I've been trying to get you to get this all year long. It doesn't matter if you've been locked up. It doesn't matter if you have done X, Y, and Z. Doesn't matter who you did it with, when you did it with, why you did it. If you begin to understand once and for all, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has put something up in you that no other unbeliever has on this earth, and when you walk into the room, you have the ability to turn things around just because you walked up in the room. Touch your neighbor with that hand and say, I'm telling you, I'm dangerous with these hands. I'm dangerous with these hands. Because when you understand who you are, God says, listen, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the ability to get it done. Nobody can deny you when God has something for you. You have the ability to speak to it, to lay hands on it, to decree a thing. You have the ability as a believer to do so many things that'll blow your mind. And it's not because you're so cute. It's because the power of the Holy Spirit is in you. And with understanding that, I don't want to take that away from where we're going, because I want to start you out understanding who you are. I believe we were talking about rejection last week, talking about the power of rejection. See, I just really believe as a believer, we've got to get to the point we know who we are. I believe the reason we have insecurities and we have all these flaws mentally and emotionally, because nobody has ever preached to you who you are. The reason why you struggle and you settle for less, because nobody has ever just put it in you who you are as a child of God. And watch this. You are who you are without anybody on the outside. You don't need somebody to make you anything. You were already there before they joined the party. You don't need her. You don't need him. You don't need them. You don't need a group. You are already by yourself enough to do whatever you need to get done. So, baby, let me talk to the single men and single ladies for just a moment. You're already whole without somebody else. Y'all ain't hearing me. You already, all you gonna be without them. They just gonna compliment when they come into your life who you are. People say, already, Pastor, I've heard guys say it. I heard ladies say, what must I do while I'm waiting? You ain't got to do nothing but keep working on you, because when they get there, they just gonna join the party. You have got to make sure you know who you are. Touch somebody, say, I'm all that. But at the same time, here it is. At the same time, I need you to understand that with us being all that, that I've lived long enough to have a balance in life. To understand that I am all that, but I do understand at the same time, there are times when I've done everything I know to do, and I have to at some point put it all in God's hands. Even though, because nobody really balanced that out for me, is that I used to just go out, I learn, you know, faith, claim it, go get it. But then I had to learn over some years and time, once you live long enough, I'm on the other side of 45, and once you live long enough, you begin to realize, yes, we are all that, and God wants us to know that and understand that. But at the same time, you'll discover that God will bring you to a place where you've got to just say, it's all in God's hands at this point. It's not that I'm denying who I am. It's not that I'm regressing in who I am. I just understand that there's some things that I've lived long enough to realize at this point in life, I just got to put it all in God's hands. And this is where I want to take us this morning, is that as believers, we have to understand there is a place you will come to where you've got to leave it all in God's hands. And when we get to that point, we look at the story we just read about the children of Israel, this familiar story, we actually pick this thing up understanding that they are getting ready, and I know we're all familiar with it, but I believe we can see something where they got to the point where they just said, we got to put this in God's hands. And anytime you get into that place in your life where you get there and you say, listen, I've got to leave this all in God's hands, I want us to remember the children of Israel, because where we pick this up is when they're getting ready to enter into the land of Canaan. And this promise, this place where Israel is going, was actually a promise that God made hundreds and hundreds of years ago to Abraham. When he said, hey, listen, Abraham, your people will inherit the land of Canaan. Now, let me pause real quick to help somebody right here. This, the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan, was a promise that God gave to Abraham hundreds of years ago. Now, okay, y'all missed your shout button right there. Here it is. It's because God never forgets a promise. God made this promise to Abraham years ago, yonders, over, you know, yonders. Anybody ever heard that word, yonders? Amen. People say over yonder, that means far away. And he gave Abraham this promise, and God never forgot the promise. And that's a good news for not everybody maybe, but for some of us in here today. Let me pause and just throw you a bone real quick, because maybe somebody needs to hang on to this, that if God has told you something in life and it has not come to pass, well, I want you to keep hanging on and hanging on, because if God made Abraham a promise over hundreds and hundreds of years ago, we're seeing the manifestation right here in the Bible. And the last time I checked in this 66 books of the Bible, it tells me God is no respecter of person. And if God remembered a promise that he gave to Abraham, he is not a man that he should lie. So if anybody's at the bus stop waiting on the bus for your promise to be fulfilled, stay at the bus stop, because it's coming, baby. Because if God made you a promise, I don't know what your promise is, but I've seen promises where God made people and they knew it was God, they heard clearly it was God, and they're like, Pastor, I'm waiting on God, maybe he forgot me. Well, let me tell you, that is the voice of the devil, because if God made you a promise, it has got to come to pass. I don't care what it is, I don't care how big it was, I don't care how difficult it is. If God said your children will be saved and you heard it and they're still wilding out in the streets, they're still wilding out in the devil's den, well, baby, just hang on at the bus stop, because God is about to deliver. He is not a man that he should lie. If you heard God say you are going to be healed, well, baby, just don't even worry about it, because he cannot lie to you. I've never seen my God ever lie. You just hang out, because he is about to deliver. And I don't know who's waiting on a promise for your family to be restored. Story. But guess what? I got some good news on this day of July, of June, is that God is about to deliver your entire family. God is about to answer prayers. God is about to bring people back. Watch what God said. In 2019, your family will be worshiping together. In 2019, they will be celebrating together. By the time we get to our candlelight service in December, your family will be up in here. Because once God makes a promise, God cannot lie. Touch your neighbor. Say, we serve a God that cannot lie. Look at your other neighbor and lean on him and say, we serve a God that cannot lie. Because I don't know about you, but I'm at the bus stop waiting on Tico. You understand? I don't know if y'all know what that is here, but that means the bus. And I'm just waiting on the bus to show up. I'm like, God, I got a promise coming. That ain't it right there. Okay, keep on coming, but I ain't leaving. Because if God told me it's going to happen, it has got to happen. And here's where the children of Israel, they're entering into this promise God made to Abraham. And God says, listen, Abraham, your descendants are going, you're going to be able to walk into the land of Canaan. But the problem is, Minister Brown, there's a small problem. It's occupied. The land is occupied. So that means if it's occupied, they got to go conquer it. And so when they get there, they see these people there. And the first city that's occupied is Jericho. And they get to Jericho, and they get there, and they're going through, and when they notice that there's a little problem, is they get to Jericho, and they notice it's well fortified. As a matter of fact, it's not well fortified, it's extremely well fortified. Jericho has never been defeated. They had these walls up that were impenetrable. Matter of fact, let me give you a little bit more of understanding of Jericho, because I don't think it's really done us justice as we've taught Jericho and the walls of Jericho. Let me make sure you understand why it's impenetrable. Jericho is a city on a hill. That's where the word tell, T-E-L, it means city on a hill. That's why, anybody ever heard of Tel Aviv? In over in Jerusalem, it's because it's Aviv, it means it's on a hill. So that means city on a hill. So Jericho is up on a hill. And around the city up on a hill, they have these walls that are about 25 feet high up on the hill. Thick walls, 6 feet thick. And then when you go down the hill, here's what the people of Jericho did that we don't preach a lot. They built another wall at the bottom of the hill. And that wall circles all the way around the hill, and it goes roughly 46 feet. Let me make sure you got it. This is why they've never been defeated. They have the wall on top of the hill that surrounds the city, and it's built and it's fortified. And then you got to go down to the bottom of the hill, and they built another wall that's 46 feet high. So they're sitting there saying, if you get over this wall that's 46 feet, somehow you're going to have to get down. And then when you get down, you're going to have to climb up a hill. And when you get up a hill, you're going to have to figure out how to overcome us. And before you get up the hill, we got guards on top of that wall who are sharpshooters if you try to even come up here. And this city has never, everybody say never, never been defeated. Matter of fact, the walls were so strong that if you go over to Jerusalem today, over in that area, you still see remnants of the wall. You still see remnants. It was that fortified. And what I'm trying to tell you is to understand, they came into this situation and it was problematic. Now, let me pause for a moment to get you to understand something, because we all know the story. We're going to get there in a minute, but let me fast forward. Israel overcomes the wall. Okay. And make sure you missed your other shout button right there. This city had never at this point been fortified. It has never been defeated because it's so well fortified. It has never been captured. It has never been defeated. And God's people defeats it. Let me just fast forward. Hold on. Because you missed it again. Because here's what I need to tell somebody. If you're ever facing something that nobody in your family has ever defeated, if God's on your side, it doesn't matter how long it's been defeated, cancer can go today. Y'all ain't hearing me. I don't care if everybody in your family had breast cancer. It can be defeated in your life. I don't care if everybody in your family or everybody that you know had this situation happen and nobody survived it. But baby, I got a new word for you today. It doesn't matter if it's never been conquered. As long as God is on your side, there's always a first that's getting ready to happen in your life. Don't you ever let the devil tell you they died to it. They lost from it. It didn't work out for them. Well, I don't care what happened to them. All I know, as for me and my house, it's going to work out for us, because God is walking up the hill with us. God is on our side. God is going in the courtroom with me. God is going into bankruptcy court with me. God is going into the doctor's office with me. And yes, maybe it hadn't been defeated, but this is the day the Lord has made, and it will be defeated if God is going with me. Because Jericho is not undefeated. God is undefeated. So I don't know what wall you're facing, but you got a God on your side who makes people undefeated defeated. He'll give everybody their first loss. God will pull a Buster Douglas on a Mike Tyson. He will give you their ever first loss it's ever had. Somebody shout hallelujah. Here it is. So they get there, and they're getting ready to go against this fortified city that's never been defeated.